Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That guy had it right. Cares all past. Home at last. Hallelujah. Anybody be glad to get home? Hallelujah. I'll be glad to get home. You ever been on a trip and long trips? Man, I'll just be glad to get home. Hallelujah. Well, that's the way this journey is in the world. The closer you get to that destination, the more anxious you get to get there. You ever hear them old timers saying, child, I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm ready to go home. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord here. We don't really have any announcements tonight that are any different than last time. So I know you got good minds. You'll remember all of them. And maybe might get Brother Valentine and Sister Valentine to play at the end of the service that song Contrast. When I put y'all together, I kind of think of that song, and I like that song. Let's go to Genesis 37 and 3, one verse for you, and I want to just teach to you tonight just real stuff. 37 and 3, now Israel loved. He loved Joseph. Not only did he love him, but he loved him more than all of his children. Might be because it was the first one Rachel had. Could be. Might have been. But he loved him more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, in which Rachel bare him with that son. And he made him a coat of many colors. I'm going to bounce off of this tonight, and I want to talk to you about true colors. I want to talk to you about true colors. God, I come before you tonight. Hallelujah. And while we say you're no respecter of anything, man, color, race, gender, none of these things, but what you do look at is the heart and the true color of our hearts. Let us be pure in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. How many of you like real people? Let me see your hands. Come on, you like real people. Now, how many of you are real? Come on. Are you as real as the people you want them to be? You know, I like real people. Well, why don't you get real? You know? And sometimes we want a certain thing, but we don't want to be that certain thing we want other people to be. We just want them to be that. I want to talk about true colors. There's an old phrase that says, now he's showing or she's showing her. See, you know that phrase. There it now I see through them to their true colors. Yeah, and that means they're revealing their real self now. It may have been hid for a long time, but you give God time. You give God time, and that work will be tried by fire. And it's already been read by those scriptures. That fire will come through. He'll send a fire. He said, I'll send strong delusion that if they don't believe the truth, they're gone. I'll dilute it till they don't believe it. You know, when you dilute something, it becomes, every time you drop with something else, it becomes less pure. I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. You diffuse it by letting it become more diluted. And he said, because they don't love the truth, I'll just send this. Let them catch that. God loves real people. He loves true colors. He loves purity and holiness and these kinds of things. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible says to raise up holy hands unto the Lord, but everybody that raises their hands ain't holy. But that's what the Lord wants. When you raise your hands, ought to be holy. Or keep them down till they are holy. And when they are holy, raise them up. But you see, we got it. We can raise our hands and not be holy. We become phony. Because the sinner, the publican prayed, he wouldn't so much as raise his head. But I've seen people doing all kinds of stuff in the church. And they dance, they shout, they speak in tongues, they do all this kind of stuff. Have a manner or form of godliness, but they're really denying the power thereof that gave them all these things they were doing. They're really denying the power. Is this okay? I mean, this is good. This is real, right? And so the true colors is when the revelation comes along that you find out really who they are. And the Bible does say that the fire will come through, and he says, I'm going to test every man's work will be tried by fire, whether it be of stubble, wood, or hay, or silver, gold, or precious stones. Now, when a fire comes through, the first three burn up. The other three become more pure. Heat what make diamonds. Heat's what makes silver more pure. Heat's what make gold more pure. But he said, when the fire comes through, if it's one of these first three things, they're going to burn up, and that man will suffer a loss. He said, but he himself will be saved by fire. So the loss is the work, but he himself is not lost. But if the work stand, he said, he shall have a reward. I've already talked about them rewards points. I've been using my GM card. How about you, Mom? You've been using, get them points. Get them points. Does anybody know how many true colors there are in the color spectrum? Now, there's some we can't see, but the ones we can see. Brother Kevin, anybody ever heard of RGB? RGB? You know what does RGB stand for? Red, green, and blue. I started to bring you a picture, and it showed these three, red, green, blue, and then it crossed these circles, and then when you see the circles and interpose the other ones, you get different colors out of these red, green, and blue. But the true colors of life that we see are red, they're green, and they're blue. Now, they produce other colors out of the purity of these two colors. Purple is a mix of some colors. I don't know what colors you mix. Yellow is a mix, but they're not the original three basic colors. And I don't know how many colors Joseph's coat had in it, but the Bible said it had many colors. I don't know if Dad mixed colors or they had the ability. Perhaps they did. They dyed scarlet, and you hear scarlet threads and things like that. The Rahab the harlot had it all the way to the New Testament. Cellar of purple, you remember that. And so, but this I do know. I don't know how many colors were pure in the coat that Joseph had, but I do know this, his father made the coat out of a pure heart. He loved Joseph. Love must be pure, or it's really not love. It must be pure. And so he made this coat out of love. And let's just say it was red, green, and blue, RGB. The sons, through hatred, took the purity of what the man had made, the coat of many colors, and dipped it in contaminants called blood, which stains anything. And so that they bring the contaminant to their father and said, look at this. And he said, the daddy said, my son surely is dead. A wild, ravenous beast must have got him. He was deceived because the purity had been contaminated. Oh, my God. Pure intentions can start out one way and then they get tainted and contaminated. There's been many a person, and I'm just going to use this because this is what I am as a preacher, okay? And sometimes I just call myself a teacher. But they started out with pure intentions, but then that filthy lucre began to contaminate the purity of the message so that it no longer is pure. Pure is to be, listen, I just wrote down a few of these that Webster had. Uncontaminated, unmodified, undefiled, unadulterated, unpolluted, unstained, untarnished. It's all the uns. You have to define it with all the uns. Because it's none of these. Wow. So things can start out pure, but they need to remain pure. But when you begin to mix anything with purity, it becomes un. You get the un out of it. All right? So when you look at James chapter 3 and verse 15, this wisdom that comes from God descendeth from above. It is not earthly. Okay, it's unearthly, it's unsensual, it's undevilish. Wherefore, envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When you take purity and contaminate it with impurities, you can have every evil work possible. But the wisdom that is from above is first, RGB, it's first pure. Now, since we have something pure, we can mix something else that's pure. Peace and gentle and easily to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, unpartial, without partiality, without hypocrisy, without, look at me, without phoniness. See, he started with purity, he ended with hypocrisy. The opposite of hypocrisy is purity. And so your motives should be pure. Your intentions should be pure. And guess what? Your thoughts should be pure. Your mind should be pure. And anytime you add any of the other impurities, it messes the chain up. It first is pure, then it's peaceable, then it's gentle, then it's easy to entreat. It's full of mercy. But if it don't start pure, you won't have these other things. You won't have peace in your home. You'll have nothing but arguments and strife because it's not pure. Yeah, like they say, if you can't say it, spray it. Lord. It's not pure. Watch this. Let's read a little further. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Peace makes more peace. Love makes more love. Honesty makes more honesty. See, purity just gives you more purity. But if you put dishonesty in anything else, it brings out all the impurities. Then you got to start lying to hide what you was dishonest about. The value of purity cannot be measured with earthly instruments. You cannot put a measurement to it. Read a few pure scriptures. These are some great one-liners. Every word of God is pure. If it came from God, it's pure. What I have to be careful of your teacher and your preacher, is that what I get from God just flows to you. That I don't give my, I'm going to get him tonight, brother. I'm going to make him. And I don't get my thoughts to make impure what God gave me that was pure. Because he can give me a pure thought, but by the time I pass it to you, it's contaminated with my own feelings. See, I have to guard. I don't want that to happen. I want to be as pure as the word that was given to me. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. I think it's year 2000. I think that's the generation we live in. I was telling someone the other day, it's very difficult to build a church because I can't find any sinners. I can't find lost people. I can't find people that think they're doing wrong. Blessed are the pure where? Now I'm going to show you something. It starts where? Yes, in the heart. Blessed are the pure, because it comes from God, it must be pure. See, God is all heart. He's all heart. For they shall see God. Only the pure will see God. Why? Because he is pure. Be ye holy as I am holy. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned, not a messed up faith. Now, I've been preaching for quite a while and I've heard a lot of sermons, but I do not think I have ever heard a sermon about the separation between the heart and the mind. Most of the time, I kind of allude to the fact that the heart and the mind are the same. Perhaps that's been an error. I hope no one goes to hell because of my error. I repent. But the Lord has enlightened me that there is a separation between the heart and the mind. We always go, your heart's right here. Well, it's really not, and I'm going to show you that it's not. But that's the assumption that we make because we think everything comes from the mind. And most of the time we preach the heart as basically the mind. But I want to look at it closer tonight. The truth is the heart is really separated from the mind, and the true colors of a person is not based upon their mind, it's based upon their heart, you see? It's not based upon your mental capacity, it's based upon your heart. And what comes out of your mouth has to go through your mind, right? But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks it, and it just passed through your mind. Because you can't talk without your mind. People that are brain dead don't talk. Okay? They don't talk. They don't have their mind, they don't talk. But the heart speaks to the mind, and then the mind speaks to the mouth. So out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mind catches it, and then the mouth says it. Okay? 2 Timothy 2 and 22. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow after these things. Faith must be pure. Charity must be pure. Peace must be pure. Out of those that call out of the Lord, out of a pure heart. You can pray all day long, God, give me peace. But if your heart is not pure, you'll never get peace. Amen. Never get it. You'll never have it. Your heart must be pure. He said into Titus 1 and 15, unto the pure, some things are pure. Every other thing is pure. He said to the pure, all things are pure. Why? Pure leads to more pureness. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Why? Because if you contaminated any, it's not pure. So nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Why? It comes from the heart. See, that's what I'm trying to show you. There's a heart thing, and then it defiles the mind and your actions and your conscience. Mark said this, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed thoughts, evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornication, murder, and it goes on the list. I didn't list them all. But all the actions started in a heart, and they went to the mind. And then the mind said, I'm going to do the evil deed. It did not start in the mind. Are you with me? It didn't start in the mind. It started in the heart, which God looks at. Every sin started with a thought. And every thought started in a man's heart. It's not, of course, the heart that beats in your chest, but we are referring to the spirit of a man. For the spirit of a man is a candle unto the Lord, and he searcheth the inner parts. Lord, try my mind. Is that what David said? Try my thoughts. No, try my heart. And see if there be any wicked thing in my spirit and in my heart that would lead to an evil thought and make me do what I shouldn't do. Are you still understanding me? So the heart are the true colors of a man. And those true colors, I may not see, but God does. You may show me your actions and act holy and all kinds of things, but you won't fool God. You won't fool him. So why don't we get real with the one that has judgment, life and death in his hands? I can't save you or lose you. But I can tell you about one that's concerned. He said, I came to bind up the heart. Not the mind, the heart. Separation between the mind and the heart. Now, I'm going to further prove this in case you got any doubt. Let's look at the first commandment. If you remember what it is, Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy... It starts there. Then it goes with all thy... Help me. Soul. Thank you. And with all thy... He makes the distinction between these three. And then with all thy strength. In other words, do it with all you've got. This is the first commandment. So it starts, now you're going to lose you if you don't stay with me. It starts with a heart. It starts with the spirit of the man. Spirit talks to spirit. So it starts with the heart of a man. And then it goes to the soul of a man, the very being of a man. And then it reaches his mind. And then it goes to his actions or his strength. Okay. Let me go a little deeper. What God sees is our heart. What we see is the outer man. I don't see your heart. God does not judge the outward appearance. He judges what? The heart. Man, he told Samuel, as smart as Samuel was, as spiritual as he was, as holy as he was, and the Bible says none of his words fell to the ground, he still missed it. He still looked at the first man and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Why do we judge people on the outside? If Samuel missed it, I know I will. He said, I don't judge on the outward appearance. I look at the heart. Give me that freckle-faced guy because he's a man after my own heart. Hallelujah. He did a lot of wrong, but he had a pure heart. God, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, wash me with hyssop, God. My sin is ever before me. He had a good heart. Now, it's not to say that the inside does not reflect to the outside. It's not to say that we should say, well, Lord knows my heart. All of our lives we keep living wicked and saying, he knows my heart. Because as we grow in God, don't you think he says we are epistles written and what? Read of all men. People can't read your heart. So what they're reading is your writings. They're reading your walking. They're reading your actions. They're reading what you do on the job. They're reading what you do in the supermarket. So that eventually your heart's got to move into your actions. But your actions